law that went into effect in Maryland last year that lifted the statute of limitations on victims of sex abuse so that they could sue going way back, as opposed to, you know, having a very limited when the abuse occurred. Well, in a couple of weeks, there is a key court hearing that's going to happen in Prince George's County that concerns the lawsuits that have been filed by victims of sex abuse by the Catholic Church. The hundreds of lawsuits have been filed, by the way, under the law that went into effect. The hearing concerns a request by the Archdiocese of Washington to dismiss lawsuits that were filed in Prince George's County, arguing they are unconstitutional. This could have very far-reaching effects on the suits that have been filed, not just there, but also here. So, joining me today are two attorneys. Jonathan Secor has been on the show before, represents a lot of the victims of sex abuse against the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and Andrew Janet, who represents plaintiffs in the cases involving the Archdiocese of Washington. Thank you both for being on the phone with me today.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Jane.
All right, so let's actually start. Let's start with Andrew, I think, because you're involved in what's coming up in the hearing involving the Archdiocese of Washington. So, what are the arguments here?
So, John Secor and I are both working together on this class action against the Archdiocese of Washington. As you noted, there is a motion to dismiss with a hearing coming up in a couple of weeks. Basically, the Archdiocese of Washington is essentially saying that when the General Assembly passed a law back in 2017, which not only changed the time limits for these cases, but also tied the General Assembly's hands for the future. Obviously, that's not how legislating typically works, but they're saying that the 2017 law was a special type of law called a statute of repose, where things may work differently. In reality, the 2017 law did not meet the requirements for a statute of repose under Maryland law, and if that had been what the General Assembly intended, it would have been a huge boon to a specific category of people, that category being sexual abuse enablers, and we certainly do not believe the General Assembly intended to pass a law that was a massive gift for sexual abuse enablers.
So in other words, their argument is that the 2017 law that was passed by the legislature trumps, so to speak, what was passed in 2023.
Essentially, yes.
So what, obviously I can hear your, you know, response to that. This is going to be heard in the circuit court in Prince George's County. First of all, because it's the Archdiocese of Washington, why is it being heard in PG County?
The suit was brought in Prince George's County because the Archdiocese of Washington is based there.
Okay, so, Jonathan, you represent, we've talked on this show. In fact, I think the last time we talked was right as the Archdiocese of Baltimore was filing bankruptcy.
That's right.
In the case. Let's back up. What is the potential impact of a ruling in the Prince George's County case? Like, let's say the judge ruled in favor of the Archdiocese of Washington.
Well, we don't believe that will occur, but if it did hypothetically occur, there would be an immediate appeal to our highest court in Maryland, called the Supreme Court, and the issues would be fully briefed and argued there. And that court will make the ultimate decision as to whether the Child Victims Act, the new law, lifting the statute of limitations in civil litigation for sexual abuse survivors, can move forward or not. If hypothetically the highest court would rule that it's unconstitutional, then what the Archdiocese would hope is we would go back to the preceding law, which sets very strict standards on time limitations for sexual abuse survivors to come forward.
But potentially it could really make the cases that have been filed moot. Am I right?
Yes. If they're beyond the statute of limitations set by the preceding law. But in Maryland here, of course, we have these two suits, one against the Archdiocese of Baltimore, which went into federal bankruptcy. And by doing that, they seek to shield their assets from their own parishioners. They don't want to compensate their own parishioners for admitted sexual abuse hands. But also, the federal court sets a bar date in bankruptcy beyond which survivors cannot come forward. They cannot file. And that bar date has been set, Jane and listeners, as May 31st, 2024. So in effect, by going into bankruptcy, they have circumvented the law in any event, because the law lifted the statute of limitations permanently, but the federal bankruptcy court set a bar date, an artificial statute of limitations of May 31st, 2024, in any event.
So just to be clear about that, that means that until May of 2024, there could still be claims filed?
In the bankruptcy proceedings, yes.
And let's just talk about that, about where you stand at the moment on that, and kind of how that process will play out.
Well, it's speculation at this point, but here's where we are. They filed for bankruptcy. They have to come forward, meaning the Archdiocese, with a list of their assets and insurance. Those documents indicating the extent of assets, as well as insurance proceeds, would have to be vetted by the creditors committee, which is 7 survivors on that committee, which speak for all survivors in Maryland, in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And we would vet those assets. And then at some point, there would be hopefully a mediation. That mediation practically cannot occur until after the bar date, because as your listeners will understand, it's only after the bar date that we will know how many viable claims there are. And so there would be a mediation following that. And we would attempt, as part of the creditors committee, to obtain as much compensation in a pool of money for the known number of victims. And that would have to be agreed upon by the creditors committee and the Archdiocese. And then we would have to go to court and get that approved. And then there would have to be distribution of those funds to the survivors based on the damages and injuries they've suffered.
In the situation involving the Archdiocese of Washington, that diocese did not file for bankruptcy. Am I correct?
Yes.
They didn't file.
They did not file. What they elected to do is file a motion to dismiss our class action, Andrew's and mine. They elected to file the motion to dismiss, as Andrew indicated, claiming that somehow the 2017 law, the earlier law, provides them with immunity, and that the legislature could not change that law to bring on a lifting of the statute of limitations completely.
How many cases have been filed between the two at this moment, between the two dioceses?
We don't know. We don't know how many. We'll know, with respect to Archdiocese of Baltimore, we'll know how many claimants there are who have filed after May 31st. With respect to the rest of Maryland, we don't know. There are other lawyers that have cases as well. We have a group of cases, of course, Andrew and I. And at some point, we'll have a much better indication of the total number of cases which are in Maryland.
When you look around, obviously there have been laws, similar laws passed in other states. There have been other bankruptcy filings, other litigation has been filing. What is generally, if there is one, kind of the pattern of what's going on with these cases, around the country?
Well, there have been approximately 35 archdioceses that filed for bankruptcy. Some have settled, some are in process. And the time to resolve these things has taken a low, meaning the shortest period of time, approximately 6 months to 3 years, as the longest period of time.
Wow. And we just started, in October in Maryland.
That's right. That's correct.
So this could be a very lengthy process.
Potentially. We're making good progress. I believe, in my own opinion, that the Archdiocese of Baltimore in the bankruptcy proceedings wants to see an end to this. And so we've made good progress over a relatively short period of time, and I would expect that progress
Okay, the hearing in Prince George's County is on, I believe, March 6th?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, well, kind of keep us posted on that. It's obviously something that's gotten some news coverage already and will continue to be covered as well. Jonathan Secor and Andrew Janet, both attorneys involved in these cases involving sex abuse complaints and cases that have been filed against the Catholic Church. Thanks for joining me today and have a good weekend. Coming up after the news, we're going to talk a little bit of politics. Bob Wallace.